Anxious. But I'm not, because it's another edition of the Shooting USA podcast from the 2018 SHOT Show, this time from the Volkwartzen booth, and it is my distinct pleasure to welcome Christmas Abbott to the podcast. Not only is it audio, it's video. We're on the internet TV. It's an amazing thing. Christmas, there is so much for us to talk about. Not only the sport of fitness, you're well known as a CrossFitter, elite level CrossFitter. You're known as a personality out of the Big Brother franchise on CBS.
Yeah.
You're known as the first woman to be a crew member of a NASCAR team. Mm-hmm. And you're also shooting a scorpion for Volkwartzen. So where should we start? Why don't we start with Volkwartzen?
Yeah, I think that would be appropriate since we're here at SHOT Show.
You bet.
I love it.
So, I mean, how's that for an intro? How'd I do?
That was excellent.
Thank you.
That makes me feel super special.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, in a way you are, because I mean, you've got a line of people waiting to meet you, take pictures with you, get your autograph and all of that. And that draws people over here to Volkwartzen so they can see some of the finest rimfire firearms on the market. Tell me about your experience with the Scorpion.
You know, I never really was exposed to 22s. Mm-hmm. And then I got my hands on the Scorpion, and it was like shooting a hot knife through butter.
You bet.
It was amazing. I feel like this is kind of like the Cadillac of 22s, and it's such an amazing pistol to play with, to get very familiar with all the mechanics and the fundamentals of shooting, which I am a huge advocate on understanding the safety and how to handle a firearm, whether or not you want to own one.
Yep.
I don't care. Like it's just nice to have that education and empowerment, and so you're less timid when you do come across a firearm if you do at any point.
Well, education is the key, and if you have an understanding, whether you choose to own firearms or not, at least you have an understanding of how this particular tool works, because that essentially is what they are. They're a tool, just like a hammer or a wrench or a golf club or anything else.
Or a car.
Absolutely. And without getting too political about it, it's one of those things. There are a great group of people in the country who are the shooting community in one description or another, who all understand what these tools are about and how they're used safely. And then there's a whole other demographic who isn't.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. As somebody in your position who has, you know, reach and exposure in a number of mainstream roles, it gives Volkwartzen an opportunity to expose some people and so on. So there's a lot for you to be doing. And that's an interesting thing, because there's a lot for you to do. I'm sure you have to keep up your fitness level because, you know, known as a CrossFit competitor, elite level CrossFit competitor, you know, how do you balance all of that?
Ooh, balance. Thank you.
Hydrate, bro. It's the desert.
That is, you know, I think that it's important to have, just like you have fundamentals in shooting, you have the fundamentals in fitness, you have fundamentals in your life. And my philosophy is that when you are always chasing excellence, you are always not perfection, because I think perfection is poison.
Right.
There, it's just not possible. It's too much pressure. But you can have an excellent stride, meaning that like every morning you wake up and you have this regiment, you know what to expect, you're prepared for it, and that bleeds into everything else that you do in your life. That bleeds into your shooting community, that bleeds into your fitness community, that bleeds into your personal life and your family community as well, your tribe, as it's been kind of been called. And I think that it's important to understand that. And when you have that discipline or the foundation locked in, then it's easier to find that balance, because you'll know when it's offset a little bit and you can make those fine tweaks. It's just like shooting, you know, always front sight focus. You always go back to the fundamentals. And when you get a little bit too zealous into it, or you go too fast, or you know, you're just too much in it, take a step back, refine those fundamentals, and go back, you know, always go back to the basics. So that's how I kind of have balanced out my life, where when it gets too chaotic and I'm not finding my balance, I just take a step back, look at what's going on, and it's easier to find where the shift is, or the turmoil, or whatever, you know, the cracks are in your day-to-day.
Right. In your CrossFit career as an elite level CrossFitter, you know, in the, you know, 13, 14, 15 years, at what point did
showing
you...
Showing my age now.
Well, I mean, admittedly, I didn't start CrossFitting until 2014, you know, and at 43 years old, it's changed my life in terms of fitness. But it's been an interesting thing to watch it evolve just in those short 4 years from where it was then to where it is now. And I guess what I'm getting to is the question of, at what point did you realize you had done what you were going to do, or was it other opportunities that took you away from just focusing on the sport of fitness?
You know, I have real life ADD, yeah. And I discovered CrossFit because when I was in Iraq, I was a civilian contractor, which is my tie to the military.
Okay.
I was very fortunate to be able to provide logistic support directly to the military so they could do their job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just wanted to explore new things because I wanted to have a better life for myself. And then that's when I got into the mindset of I wanted to live to my true full potential.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I love CrossFit. And CrossFit was kind of the catalyst to open a lot of other doors for me.
Mm-hmm.
And with those doors opening, I loved CrossFit, but I wanted to have the experience. I wanted to go and try it just because.
Yep.
You know, life is amazing. And as adults, we still get to play. And our play is new experiences. Shooting, CrossFit, tire changing.
Right. Race cars. Yep.
Race car, Big Brother, whatever it may be. It's okay to take a chance on something and not work out in your favor.
Right.
It's not okay to not take a chance and say, what if? That's the philosophy that I really, really want to hold on to. And so with that idea in mind, whenever there was a really cool experience, and they're like, Christmas, come try this. I was like, okay, I'm there. I'm going to run. I'm going to try it, and I'm going to run with it. And I was really very fortunate that it just opened more and more doors. And so I tell people all the time, like, look, don't know what your experience is going to be until you try it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like an educated experience is what I talk about, is if you try it, then you have a real opinion on whether you like it or not. And then you can decide whether you want to keep it in your life or not. But otherwise, before then, you're just creating an experience in your head that's not really true most of the time.
Hmm. Well, you were in a unique position, thanks to CrossFit, your level of fitness as an elite competitor, to make a step that no other woman had done prior to you, and that was become a member of a pit crew for a NASCAR team.
Yeah.
And as much as you can talk about it, now, if I'm not mistaken, that was under Hendrick Motorsports?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, not Hendrick. I'm sorry. They've closed down since. They closed down 2 years ago. Waltrip Racing.
Okay. Waltrip.
I'm like having a brain fart. Yeah.
Old Darrell Waltrip's got a sweet Honda dealership in Franklin, Tennessee. Anyway, separate from that, Waltrip Racing brought you on as a member of a full-on NASCAR crew team.
Yeah. Sprint Cup level.
Okay.
Legit.
Yeah. The big
it
show.
It was so fun. So what I love about this is that all those fundamentals that I was talking about before, about,
right,
you know, like just chasing that excellence, that integrity, being cognizant of where you are, your awareness, and that applied 100% to NASCAR.
Right.
Precision, speed, accuracy, power, consistency.
Right.
They don't care if you have the fastest changing tire speed.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't perform it 50 times in a row,
right,
the same way,
it has to be repeatable. Yeah, exactly.
And they, if you don't think that that's a tech sport, you are sadly mistaken, because they have cameras, they have torque, they measurements, they it is so nerdy that I cannot wrap my head around it. And I walked in like a meathead that can, you know, perform well.
Right.
But they measure everything. And if you're not consistent and hitting those measurements, you're gone.
Well, it breaks down to, you know, can you move the weight? Can you be fast about it? Can you be accurate and then repeatable?
Yes.
Is it, and, you know, kind of give me an understanding, do you have to know, as a member of the team, do you have to be able to perform all of the different jobs? Meaning, do you have to be able to do the gas? Do you have to be able to do the tire? Do you have to be able to do the jack? Or is it one focus job for each individual?
It's a focus job, but it is overlapped. So okay. I'm not going to go be a tire carrier. I'm
right.
not built for that.
Right.
I'm not going to be the jack man. I'm not built for that. I'm built for changing tires.
Right. So you were on the ranch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Boop, 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 boop.
Right.
It was amazing.
And then but you still have to pull the tire that's going out.
Yeah.
And you got to position the tire that's going in, and you got to hit the wrench again.
Yes. And then you have to get the hell out of the way.
Right.
Because they will run you over.
Right. I mean, this is, and it's not like you're doing it in your driveway. You're doing it in less than 5 seconds, and there's other cars going by at 85 miles an hour pit speed.
Complete stuff. Yeah. So the
give take.
It's 55 miles an hour,
yeah,
and there's about 2 feet between you and that car. They don't go 55.
Right.
And they don't care if they hit you.
Right.
So, I mean, it's real intense. And a whole stop is about 12 seconds.
Right.
From start to finish.
And that's four tires. That's gas. That's the whole deal. I mean, that may be an adjustment in some wing or some suspension. And I mean, it's mind-boggling for those who don't really know what's actually going on.
Yeah. So you can. So the five lug nuts, just a little, kind of little fun fact, is that NASCAR, you hit those five lug nuts. Average hand speed for all five lug nuts is 1.2 seconds.
Jeez.
1.2 seconds.
Yeah.
And then you pull it and you throw it, you know, they throw it on, you hit it again, 1.2 seconds, and then you go around. So you're talking about tenths of a second.
Absolutely.
That they're evaluating you on and judging you on and potentially hiring or firing you on.
It's amazing.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure at all.
No pressure.
That then got you into a position where you were able to cross over into a mainstream venue, a social experiment, if you will, that, I mean, it's unlike anything else. It's very, very interesting, and that's CBS's Big Brother.
It's appropriately titled.
Yeah.
So let me kind of break down Big Brother for you, because I think that people watch it, and it's so fascinating because it's multi-layered, right? There's a whole bunch of different dimensions in this show that, you know, you either sign up for, you watch for the characters, or you watch for the psychological warfare that we
sure.
put on each other, or the competitions that are super funny, but also very difficult and challenging.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, you go into this house, not a very big house, and you are literally cut off from the world. You have no pen and paper. No pen and paper. None.
That's so weird.
You can't write anything down. You can't record anything. You have no music.
Yeah.
You have no books, no magazines. So nothing to read or stimulate yourself.
Right.
They've taken all stimulant out. There's no TV, obviously.
Right.
And no communication to the outside world. So now you're in a house with 15 other people. It's like a modern-day Lord of the Flies, where you have to collaborate with everybody else to figure out who you're going to kick out that week.
Right.
And if they don't win the competition, then we can kick them out.
Right.
But maybe they've collaborated with everybody else. You don't know.
Right.
You honestly don't know who's on your side. And it's this slow boil, the frog
yes.
hot boiling syndrome, right? So
yes.
if you take a frog, throw it into hot water, boiling water, it's going to immediately jump out.
Right.
Take a frog, room temperature water, slowly crank up the heat.
Right.
It'll stay in until it's dead.
Right.
Well, that is like in the house of Big Brother, where you just don't know you're losing your mind.
Right.
You're just, all of my therapies kind of got taken away from me from talking on social media, which I love, journaling, listening to music, and working out. I broke my foot.
Yeah.
Day 13.
Yeah.
And so I really lost my mind. But it was incredible. It's like adult summer camp.
Right.
So awesome, but also very, very challenging. One of the most challenging things that I've done.
It's an interesting concept in that there's $500,000 at stake at the end of it. I mean, that's for many people, that could be life-changing money.
And well, I was hoping to have my life changed.
You
by
got
that
close. I mean, you got close. You
I
were
know.
Top three.
I know.
Well, I mean, it's notable in
no
that.
No prize money in three.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. yeah, and what'd you get out of it? A couple surgeries on your foot? And but.
You know, I got an amazing experience.
Yes.
Really, I had to say that the whole experience was, I went in because I wanted a challenge.
Right.
That was my intention. And
sure.
I got a challenge. I got so much more than I bargained for, but I'm grateful for it because even with the tragedy with my foot and not winning, I'm taking back so many lessons that are going to amplify my life into a whole new level. And I'm excited about that. You know, I have to look at the not the silver outline, but, you know, just the takeaways
sure.
and see what I like to call, it's a movie, there's a movie named after this, Collateral Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
out of every tragedy in your life, no matter what it is, there is some sort of collateral beauty. And if we are aware of it, mm-hmm. we can find it faster.
Okay. It's an interesting thing you bring up about the fact that they won't let you write anything down. I think as a viewer, that's one thing that you don't ever really pick up on. But it makes
yeah.
sense that they don't let you do that because there are a lot of times there's things where you have to remember something that was said or something that was played over a loudspeaker at 4 a.m. or
yeah.
whatever.
Oh, man.
And if you were able to sit there and scratch that down, now you have an advantage. And I guess it makes sense. But,
yeah.
man, it's got to be difficult.
Really difficult.
And then to add in the injury. I hate to ask a question like, what if you hadn't been injured? Do you think the outcome would have been different?
It would have been completely different.
Of course.
I don't know how, though.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say that they would have gotten rid of me immediately. I think that I played a really good social game.
Mm-hmm.
And I started that immediately. I was automatically a physical threat. And I know that's why they wanted to get me out initially. But, you know, like, I'm a social person. I can't help myself. Like,
right.
that was makes me happy, and I'm authentically, you know, I authentically love meeting new people, and I think that helps me a lot. I'm not sure exactly how far I would have gone had I not broken my foot.
Right.
But I will tell you that I would have liked to see that play out rather than breaking my foot.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like, if I had my choice, I would have rather take my chances on my physical capability.
Were you able to put any input with regard to different food that was available or things like that? Diet was just whatever they came up with.
They stocked the pantry.
Right.
And we always had really great options. They gave us chicken, steak. But we had to cook everything ourselves. So I was able to really stay on a pretty healthy diet regimen, especially since I broke my foot. Certain people would cook and other people just didn't do anything at all except for try to get weighted on hand and foot.
Right.
And I was like, who's got the broken foot over here?
I mean, there goes your personality. I mean, it starts to expose people's personalities.
It does.
And when you strip away places that people would go otherwise, like music or the internet or books or whatever, now.
And then think about like having a roommate. How annoying is your roommate?
I mean, think about
having that by 15.
15, right. Yeah.
We have one bathroom, one toilet.
Right. Yikes.
Like two shower heads
yep.
with like a curtain in the middle so you could have two shower heads,
yep.
you know, and then 15 other people sharing the same space and you're hoping that they're not as dirty as they look on TV, but they are.
So here's another question. There's exercise equipment. They allow you to exercise at certain points when you can go outside or whatever, when they allow you to go outside.
Yeah. We call it the yard.
Right.
Like prison.
Right. And they've always had, they've always had like a bench and different stuff like that. I've noticed that over the years. It seems like all of a sudden a GHD turned up and then there were some boxes and there were kettlebells and stuff like that. Do you have any input on that or do you think they tailored it maybe to somebody who would utilize that equipment? How do you think that worked out?
Yeah, I think that, when I was going through the interviewing process, which you do a lot of interviews, and they're super fun. They're like, what would your ideal thing be if you could have it in the house? And, I love the fact that they put kettlebells in a box in there and the GHD. I only got to use the GHD after a little while.
Right.
But that and the bike was kind of my savior with being able to work out outside. Now, inside, I'm doing couch squats. And I will tell you, couch squats do not compare to real back squats.
Like, yeah, of course not.
Doing little pumps on the couch was just like a throw of sprinkle into the ocean versus like a 250 back squat.
Yeah.
But it still kept this a little bit.
Right. I mean, movement is still movement. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a good thing.
It was more like a psychological thing to go through the motions for a little bit.
Would you do it again, given the opportunity?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I kind of had a feeling I was going to get that answer.
I know people were looking at me like, Christmas, are you crazy? I'm like, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd do it. I don't know, like, the thing about Big Brother is that I didn't lie, and people couldn't accept that. So when I told them, I was like, hey, Jason, I need to get rid of a strong guy this week. And he's like, yeah. So you're going to put me up, and then we're going to really get rid of that person. I'm like, no, we're going to get rid of you. And he just convinced himself that I was lying about,
right.
To that person that, I don't know, it's you get in your head. You
yep.
really kind of.
Well, it's a social experiment, and they've crafted it into something that's a popular television show, and
yeah.
there's a real carrot at the end for the horse.
It is.
A lot of money. I mean, life-changing money. So,
my friend, I'm going to say this last thing. My friend put it into really great perspective of, mm-hmm. like, how you kind of lose your mind in this house is that, think about prison. And for argument's sake, for this example, prison houses, some very challenging characters, murderers, rapists, mm-hmm. Criminals, right?
Sure.
The worst thing that you can do in this community of criminals is put them in isolation.
Right. Yeah, it's torture.
And I willingly went into like an isolation with a couple other people, and then every week we have one person gone. We collectively vote who to leave. That's pretty hardcore, like ruthless
yeah.
behavior.
Yeah, you're basically ending somebody's chance at that life-changing money, essentially.
Yeah.
And that's, when you break it down to just that, that's pretty difficult.
Yeah.
What's the future hold for Christmas Abbott? I mean, what do you have going on? I understand there's a company or two.
Yeah, so I have life ADD, like I said before. I love fitness. I love sports. I love shooting. This will always be in my life. And I have launched a supplement company called Born Relentless.
Cool.
B-O-U-R-N, Relentless. And the concept is that you are born relentless. It's always inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to pull that out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited about it because I can control the ingredients, which was frustrating for me as a high-level athlete, taking these supplements that there was like one key ingredient that I didn't want to put in my body.
Right.
So instead of just finding, just Frankensteining my own supplement line, I decided to create my own. I'm really excited. That just launched about a month and a half ago.
Okay.
What's coming up soon is we're launching in about a month, is CAN, Christmas Abbott Nutrition.
Okay.
It is an online coaching nutrition platform. So basically, we educate you to eat within your lifestyle. I don't want you to be deprived.
Sure.
I want you to be empowered by the education and understand nutrition on a fundamental way that you can shift it to whatever your goal is or whatever your lifestyle is. And I don't have my phone with me, but I have a smart scan inside this mm-hmm. where you can take a picture of your food or your plate mm-hmm. and it pulls up all the things on your plate.
Like it recognizes what food is on your plate?
It recognizes the food.
That's crazy.
And
is there anything else like that? I've never heard of something
like
that.
Not in the industry. You know, Fitbit has been trying to do this. There's a couple other companies that have been trying to do it, not successfully. And the thing about this software is the more you use it, the smarter it gets.
Cool.
So you can take a picture, save your food, save your meal,
right.
and then I have a quick add button so you can save that meal and then never have to scan it again. You just press the button.
Oh, neat.
It is stupid easy. Mm. I wanted it to be so dumb, like dumb easy to use, that there's no excuse not to use it.
Sure.
So there's no hunting and searching for things if you don't want to use that.
Mm-hmm.
And just take pictures, and it'll be pretty close to accurate consistently. So, I mean, there's like all excuses are gone.
Yeah, and that's coming soon.
That's coming in about a month.
Okay, amazing.
Yeah.
How do people find out about it? Say somebody's watching or listening and they want to know more. How do we find out?
You guys can go to my website, christmasabbott.com.
Easy.
And I have all, you know, Born on there, Can on there, and then my BBX, my workout programs, which are super fun.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're interested in either one, you can also, that's the launching point.
Yeah, that'll be the stepping off.
Yeah.
Perfect.
ChristmasAbbott.com, super easy.
And then, of course, all the social media venues, I'm sure.
They're all Christmas Abbott. So.
Easy. You got lucky and got all of them.
My mama did a good job naming me.
Yeah, that's
it. Yeah, Instagram. I'm not really on Twitter much because I just hate texting, so why am I going to go into social media and text? And then launching a YouTube site real soon.
Good.
To do some education on nutrition and exercise and life.
Very good. That's everything I got for you. I can't thank you enough for the time.
Oh, John, thank you so much. I had such a good time.
And that's great.
All right.
Hey, and stay tuned to our social media because we got more from the 2018 SHOT Show.